Brian Rashad joins us from warm Arizona. I assume it's warm out there. Are you in San Jose now?
Actually, I'm back home, buddy.
Oh, geez. You went for a one-dayer.
Yeah, we went for a one-dayer just to get Mac T on the ice and on the bench. And yeah, so I was on a 6 a.m. home through Seattle this morning, so I'm dragging it around a little bit today.
You were live in person watching it on TV. The second period was ugly, to say the least. No instant return on the new coaching yet.
Well, I heard Todd Nelson make a comment today. He said, you know, we were happy that we were able to keep it under 30 in the second period. So at least he can have a little bit of a sense of humor about it. But, yeah, I know it was funny. I'm sitting there watching it, kind of shaking my head going, is this happening already? Like, man, the bounce or the bump should be more than 20 minutes long from the GM standing behind them and a new coach coming in. Like, the little bounce in energy they're supposed to get, the uptick, is supposed to last longer than a period. But, man, in that second period, they couldn't make it pass. They couldn't get out of their own zone. Turning pucks over, it was just like everything that's wrong with the team except for goaltending was on display.
Yeah. You know, Ryan, you're going to have to make hay with Nelson while he's in a joking mood, because you know this team's going to beat that out of him in a hurry.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, I think that, you know, it's interesting when you look at what McTavish sees in Nelson and wants out of Nelson. I think Craig said it yesterday that he's a guy who's able to get his players to play for him. And so the challenge for him is to do it at the NHL level with NHL players making NHL money. And so I think Todd has made a bit of a reputation for being pretty honest with his players and pretty blunt, but at the same time being a guy that the players generally seem to like. Now it's different at this level, Robin, you know that, man. It's a lot different trying to motivate guys who don't have another step to get to the way they do in the American League. It's a lot harder to get guys to buy in like that. So that'll be his challenge, and we'll see what his demeanor is like if it continues at this level of futility.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a big believer in fate or whatever. You make your own breaks. But I think timing does play into it. And the problem I see for Nelson, Ryan, is, you know, he's paid his dues. He's been on a National Hockey League bench in a limited time before as an assistant. He seems like a sharp guy. And if you were going to give an untested NHL guy a head coaching shot, Nelson might tick a lot of your boxes, but the thing is, I'm not sure if it's with this team at this time, and he's in a bad spot, and he may be a fine young coach one day, but this timing is lousy for him from where I sit.
Yeah, a little bit. I agree with you in that it's probably not the ideal way to get your NHL shot without a long-term NHL contract in your pocket and an opportunity to dig in and do it your way. I mean, I think Nelson's the kind of guy who's probably not going to worry a lot about the interim thing and hoping that people like him. I think he probably is realistic enough to know he's going to have to do this his way to have a chance anyways. So I don't think he's going to pull any punches, and I don't think he's going to be any softer than he normally would be. I think he's going to apply himself the way he normally would. I could see Craig McTavish giving him this job in the off season. I don't know what kind of a winning record, what kind of a record he's going to have to produce to show that he deserves it. But I know for a fact that when Craig hired Dallas Eakins, think about that. He hired a guy with no NHL head coaching experience who had, was it equal to, or even a little bit less American Hockey League head coaching experience? Mm-hmm. At the time. So he hired a guy from another organization instead of the guy running his farm. I mean, that is a huge passover. That is a huge kick to Nelson to just have to go get another AHL head job, head coach to take that job. So I know it bothered McTavish to do that at the time. And now in some ways, I think Mac feels like he's probably making good on that by giving him this chance.
How long is McTavish only there until they come home here for the 23rd, and then he's going to go to the World Juniors, Rashad?
Yeah, good question. I mean, Craig's got a lot of work to do. He's got a lot of scouting to do. He's got a lot of work to do. He's got a lot of got a scouting staff to start looking at. He's got there's a lot on his plate. I'm going to make a prediction that we are very soon going to hear the quote I was just getting in his way from Craig McTavish talking about Todd Nelson. You know, Todd was clearly ready to take the reins, and it was good for me to be on the inside, but there comes a point where I'm just getting in his way. And I think that it'll be a short period of time. I think they need to grab themselves a win here. I think they need to maybe try and put together a couple if they can, and then Craig steps out of the way would be my guess.
Yeah, I agree completely, Ryan. You know, I don't know that I buy this eyeball-to-eyeball thing beyond the fact that, yeah, drop into the room and check out. But if he's checking out something, he's checking out something that he's already heard from an assistant coach from Dallas, you know. You know, if he's got to go in and see this, if there's a problem there, he's not going to see it in a day or a week, because if your boss gets blown out, Ryan, or my boss gets blown out, and a new guy comes in and says, I'm going to take a look at things for the next few days, you're not going to do what you normally do.
No. You make sure you shave and brush your teeth and comb your hair before you go to work, right? That's the thing. The guys will be on their best behavior for the most part, I would guess. So Craig's not going to get the... But, I mean, let's be honest. He and Dallas probably talked before and after every single game they played about every single detail there was to talk about. And I don't think McTavish is going to uncover any grand secrets. I mean, he's behind the bench right now largely because I think he probably felt it was a little bit unfair to just hand the burning barn over to Nelson and say, fix it, and here's your NHL shot. Like, I think that's probably a bit of a raw deal.
Yeah.
So he's there to smooth the transition, get face-to-face with some of them, maybe ask some tough questions and get a real sense for where things are at, and then he'll get the heck out of the way and get on with the bigger task at hand, which is fixing some segments of the organization.
Ryan Urshaga joins us. Urshaga, just coming down, James Neal, the first NHL player to get two embellishment/diving warnings, thus it becomes public. The first one, I guess they keep it quiet, and so Neil got fined $2,000 for diving embellishing. Now that came out today. Your thought? You think we're going to see more? And do you have any idea who's? Have any Oilers been warned even once?
I don't know if any Oilers would have been warned once. I haven't seen a lot of it this year. I don't know if you guys have. I haven't seen a lot of it. I think Dallas was always didn't really want his guys to have any part in that. So that's funny. So he gets $2,000 and his name in lights is basically what he's been awarded here. I mean, it's kind of funny. Like, I don't think this is really going to bother anybody. Like, James Neal will be like, whatever. Like, so what? And I don't know what happens next. Like, what is this an escalating thing?
His
fine goes up as he gets more?
Yeah, his fine.
Next time his name will be in bigger font in italics? Or, like what happens?
Third time is a $3,000 offense. Fourth time is a $4,000 offense. The fifth time, he gets fined $5,000, and the coach gets fined $2,000.
Oh, man. So an hour of picking up drinks at the bar.
Yeah, they peel that off as lunch money. Holy smokes.
But does it? And I assume it resets every year.
Good question.
I would assume that you get a clean slate at the start of every year, right? That you don't carry that around. You can't keep getting fined for what you did last year if it's an escalating fine. I would assume, anyways. Yeah, that's funny. I mean, I just don't think it's going to have the desired effect of really making the guys feel embarrassed or care that much. They'll have to answer a couple of humorous questions from the media that'll just end up being a laugh more than anything. I mean, as a reporter, like, would you walk into the room and try and dig in on someone for that, Jason? Or is it just kind of like Robin, could you imagine? Wow, it's twice now. You know, what do you think, Ryan? Like, well, really? Well, it would just end up being a joke. You know what I mean?
Well, Shogger, you know this. You know, if you got the puck, you turn over the puck. If you're a guy who's got the puck, you're going to get hooked and held, and sometimes you're going to try and make sure the referee makes the call. So these fines, by and large, are going to be going to the guys who can afford it the most, and they're going to say, frankly, hey, if you aren't cheating, you aren't trying.
Yeah, Yeah, I can't imagine Luke Gazdick's going to pull any embellishment calls anytime soon. So you're right. It's the guys who are carrying the puck that usually get hauled down. So it's kind of funny and whatever. Ryan is who Ryan is. I don't think he's going to change one ounce, whether they put his name on a billboard or a press release and ding with a little fine that's like a pocket change for you and to him. Anyways, that amount.
Shugger, Boyd Gorton is supposed to play tomorrow here in San Jose. Yeah. Oscar Klefbom, maybe. What did you make of that blue line core last night for the Oilers? And, Justin Schultz in overtime, that may be his best offensive play he's made all year long.
Yeah, he was he had a little bit of jump, I think. And you know what? Even earlier in the game, I thought Petrie, I tweeted about it, but he kind of made this really aggressive play where he grabbed a guy and kind of threw him. Like he got like a roughing penalty. It was amazing. So he went and the point I made was, man, McTavish will take that any day of the week. Petrie being aggressive and taking a penalty out of aggression. So, and then when he got out of the penalty box, he busted down ice and kind of batted a puck down and got a really, really good shot on net. Like there were a shift or two there where Petrie looked like he was playing for a contract. So, I mean, he showed a little bit of flashes. Davidson, to me, has been okay. He's not really out of place, I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's going to be, he still has some developing to do, but he didn't seem out of place to me. And he looks like he's got a pretty decent shot. So, I mean, look, the blue line is what it is, right? It's still, and it's not like they're going to get a ton better when Nikitin comes back, so. I think Klefbom belongs in the lineup, and they definitely need Gorton. You know what? You know whose game I liked last night was Tyler Pitlick. I thought he played really well.
Yeah, he's not putting anything on the board, and you're not necessarily primarily leaning on him for that. I liked his game. Jason mentioned this earlier, and I think it's obvious to everybody. You're not going to win games scoring 18 goals in the last 13 games.
Oh,
Scrivens
no
plays lights out. And look, I didn't see, I wasn't in the rink. Did he actually toss the lumber at the end of the game? It looked like he was looking for something to take a swipe at because he can't play better goal than that.
Yeah. No, he played well for sure. And he did what you expect your goalies to do. I don't know if he actually threw it or not because I was, but you know what it's like, Rob, you get downstairs by the time you think overtime is going to be there. So I was just watching it on the screen. Goal goes in, you watch the replay, and then head to the dressing room. So
yeah.
I don't know if he threw the lumber or not. I think it's probably important that Oiler goalies stop throwing stuff around at some point. If you expect better body language from the guys on the ice and the guys on the bench, I think they probably should stop doing that. Ben handled himself fine after the game. Had to be disappointing because he was really good for them. Like that second period, that was exceptional goaltending from a guy who's been much maligned this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so to end up having to sit there talking about a loss, when really, you look at that goal, Jordan Eberle, kind of a weird soft play on the wall where he falls over and loses a puck battle. Nugent Hopkins gets caught looking at the puck, gets threaded through his legs. He didn't take any body, and then it's in the back of the net. So a couple of mistakes from important players, and Ben Scrivens takes another loss.
And nobody's going to stop that winning shot. That's a laser.
Was a great shot. Yeah, sometimes guys just make great plays. And Ben more than did his job last night. There haven't been a ton of nights where you can say that about the Oiler netminding, but he more than did his job last night. And he held his tongue after the game. He just said it, another wasted opportunity was sort of the way he put it.
Shugger, we will chat with you tomorrow. Have yourself a little nap this afternoon, okay?
I'm heading right there right now for a little siesta.